You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Yabba Dabba Doo. How many of you know who the Flintstones are? Raise your hand. Now, look at the hands that aren't up. They're usually about 20 years and younger, never heard of the Flintstones. Let's do it the other way. How many of you have never heard of the Flintstones? Raise your hand. Well, not as bad as I thought, so this might work. The Flintstones. Fred, Wilma, Pebbles. Is it Dino? Yeah, I guess it's Dino. The Rubbles next door. Barney, Betty, Bam Bam. Working class, Stone Age man's life with his family, his next door neighbor and best friend. We've seen the Flintstones. I actually read that Chuck Norris won the Daytona 500 in Fred Flintstone's car. I don't know if you knew that, but just a little trivia there. And Yabba Dabba Doo is actually a Hebrew word that means, where's my hairbrush? So just something there too. When I really started to understand what following Christ was about, I was in my early 20s, and I've talked about this man named Claude Townsend. And I ended up at this pastor's conference thing that I didn't know I was going to outside of Atlanta. A buddy of mine who I went to seminary with, he and his wife kind of knew I was not doing well. Now that I think about it, they tricked me into going this, but that's okay. So I get out there, this old man sees me, we start talking, and he took me out to his van. And the van smelled like he lived in the van, because he did kind of, so I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. But it kind of inside, I had been praying for so long that God would send me help. And when I saw this old man, as much as I hated it really, because I thought I wouldn't have picked him. You know, he's kind of bald and nasty looking, teeth, you know, his orthodontist died young and kind of warts, and he wasn't the most attractive man I'd ever seen. But inside, I knew that God had answered my prayer. So we get in his van, he closes the door, and he hands me a Bible. And I thought, okay, well, here we go. It's game on. I've been hiding all this time. And he said, you know, I want you to read something. And so he told me the passage, and I'll get you to turn there. It's in Romans chapter 4, so go ahead and find Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to take you where it, other than me becoming a Christian, where this all started to make sense to me. So he proceeded to ask me to read a verse, which I'll read to you in a second. And I said, no. I said, before we read that, let me tell you what's going on. You know, I struggle with lust. I struggle with this. I gave him all these things. I thought no one knew about me. And as it turns out, you know, if a guy comes to see me and says he wants to talk about something, I go, well, there's like a 97% chance there's something sexual going on here. Like, oh, how did you know that? I'm like, dude, I'm breathing. You know, what else? You know, it's just how it works. That's where men struggle a lot of times. So I try to get all that. He says, okay, yeah, I know all that. I was like, hey, how can he know all that? This is even scarier. He said, just read the verse. And he didn't even say read the chapter. He didn't even say read an entire verse. He said, read me the first few words in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. And what are those words? But to him who does not work. Now, why did he have me read those words? Because he sized me up just like that. I had been raised in a system, and by the way, you don't have to be raised as a Baptist or a Methodist. I mean, you can be raised as a Catholic. You can be raised as about anything. Religion has a way of communicating that it is about what you have to do. That if you don't do certain things and don't do certain things and check that list off, that if you don't figure out how to perform, if you don't figure out how to work this thing to where God is happy with you, you're not going to make it. And so I was completely exhausted. I had been working my butt off since I was born almost, trying to perform for God and be a good kid and be happy. I was one of the, you know, my personality, part of that was just trying to be okay. Because you didn't want to make my dad, you know, upset because people could get hurt there. So if that was the case with my dad, then God only knows what God would do if you made him upset. You know, I just had this, he's just waiting. I mean, he's got his arm back with a club, just like ready. You're going to take me out if I get out of line. So be a good kid. Let me tell you something. Being a good kid can be exhausting. You can't be a good kid all the time. And the highs are really high. The lows are really low. So here this old man said to him that works not. And I, you know, you say, well, did it all make sense just like that? No, it's been a long trip and it's still not over because I still have little residue of performance. Like, well, if I do that, and then I have to remember, no, he just loves me. Now, you say, well, this is all so simple. Let me tell you something. If you don't know what I'm saying, this is not all that simple. Because if you were raised in a system where it was about keeping the rules, there's a chance you just said, forget this, I'm out, I can't do this. And so you quit on God because you thought it didn't work and he quit on you and you just bailed. It works, but you got to let it work the way it works. Now, I met with the other guy and here's why I yabba dabba do today. And I've used this illustration in conversations with people, but I don't know if I've ever done it publicly. In the Flintstone cartoon, Fred would get in his car and do what? Fred would jump in his car and basically stood up with a steering wheel and his little legs would go a million miles an hour and boom, the car took off, right? Well, it's a cartoon. In reality, that doesn't work very well. Now, let me give you a very simple picture. If I finished today and went into the parking lot and followed you to the parking lot and followed you to your car with your family, and you were a little embarrassed because I was about to watch you get in your car, but I stayed there and watched, and all the doors opened. And when you opened the doors, there were no seats, there were holes to the ground, and everyone got in the car, held onto their rail, and I said, so what are you guys doing? They go, oh, we're going home. What do you mean you're going home? Well, this is our car. This is how we get around. I'm like, and so what are you going to do? Well, we're gonna run real fast. And you close the doors and you sit there and maybe you get it going a little bit. Maybe you get it moving a little bit. But what's the reality? You're going nowhere. That's exactly what's going on with you as a Christian. You're going nowhere. Because everywhere you're going and trying to go, you're going under your own power. So then what you do, my mom told me that like in the 50s when she was probably in her 20s or something, she said air conditioning came out back then, 40s, 50s, whatever year it was. She said, well, what she and her friends would do, she had a car. They would get in the car in the middle of the summer and would roll all their windows up so that people would think they had air conditioning. Now, they were sweating like little pigs, but it looked like they had air conditioning. So you're driving around, you know, waving, just dying, but you didn't want anybody thinking you didn't have air conditioning. Now, you say, well, that's stupid. Well, who does that? We do every day. We have props. We put clothes on. We do things with our hair, makeup, whatever you're doing. We're doing things to try to, in some ways, sometimes disguise who we really are. And so you're a Christian. I'm not arguing. Let's assume you're a Christian. You've had that event happen. But every day of your life, you dread going out, getting in your car and living your life because in your life, in your Flintstone mobile, there is no engine, you think. So this guy comes in the other day and I use this illustration and I said, so what if I followed you to your car? We do this whole scenario. You get in, you're going to yabba dabba do your way down the street. And I said to you, is this working out for you? No, it takes me a long time to get to places and get back. And I'm really tired, you know, go through all that. What if I said, could you step out of the car just a minute? And I reach down and pull a hood release. And I go around the front of the car and I say, lift the hood. And I say, do you know what this is? Did anybody tell you about this? He goes, no, nobody ever told me about it. What is that? I said, this thing, this car that you've been pushing around your whole life, has got like an engine. And here's how that works. You do something, you turn a key, you still steer, you have access to power, and this big old heavy deal will move like crazy fast. Wow, that can't be possible. What am I gonna do? Because I've been working my whole life to make this work. It is a crazy thing just to get to ride. Crazy. Now, you will have withdrawals from your working because you'll go to do something and then you realize, am I doing this or is this God doing this? And I'm going to read you a bunch of verses in a minute, so don't give up on the Bible. It's in there. The same Jesus who in John chapter 1 says the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Before that says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. Basically, the Word, the Logos, Jesus spoke and things happened. All of creation, everything was created by the power of his Word. Boom, stuff just appears. Somehow, I have that engine in me. I have the same Spirit of God that runs the universe and powers the universe and made the universe and raised Jesus from the dead, by the way, that lives right here inside of me. The same power I have access to right here in me. You say, well, what do you do with that? You don't do much with it if you don't believe it's in there. And even when you do believe it's in there, it takes you a while to get used to that because you're so used to doing it yourself. So you may have to unlearn some things in order to let him live in you and through you and be the power behind your life. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, people say, well, the Christian life is like, it's really hard. It's not that hard. It is really very simple. It's just you have to know how to let him work so it will work for you. Does it mean you never do anything? That is not the point. You still trust. You still act. You still step out in faith. You go back in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God didn't live in people permanently. He came on people off of them. You take Moses. Moses gets trapped. If you look at where he was when he took the people over the sea, the Red Sea parts, he gets up there. There's no way out but the sea. And they're upset. They're like, who is this lunatic that would get us in this place? And he steps by faith. And the water parts. You go, wow, that'd be crazy. That same power lives in you if you're a Christian. Now, let me parenthetically, not so much parenthetically, say this. If you are not a Christian, you've got jack. And you're going to live that way till the day. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you. You say, whatever you're talking about, I don't have that. I can't make it work. You're exactly right. The reason, and I'll read this verse in a minute. The book says it is about Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only hope of any glory for you in this life or the life to come is Christ in you. You have got to get him inside you. And he will not kick the door of your heart down. That is a by invitation only. So if you say, well, I'm going to have an engine installed in my life and I want this power, I want to know how to live. Jesus is the only one who can do it. He is the only thing missing in your life. You say, well, nobody believes that anymore. Let me tell you something. You better believe it or you're in a heap of trouble. This isn't some religious exercise. This is about God himself moving in your life. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's jump in at verse 14. This is Paul writing to this church at Ephesus. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now listen to this. According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able, look at this verse. You know, if you're comfortable underlining stuff in your Bible, highlight this. These are amazing verses. Now to him who is able. You know what? I was not able. You know who's able? He's able. Everything you can't do, he can do. And you say, well, I can't live the Christian life. Let me tell you someone who can live the Christian life. Christ. So if you follow Jesus around in the Bible, you go, wow, well, Jesus lived no sin, dies as perfect sacrifice on the cross, buried, raised from the dead. He was God. He figured it out. Well, he's God. You know, that's Jesus in a man. I'm not that. Exactly. So what do? You get him in you and let him live and it works. And everything you can't do, he can do. So you yield your bodies to him. You put on, if you could think about it this way, and I'm not saying you do this every day, because once you've done it, you've done it. When you become a Christian, he moves in you, he moves on you. It literally talks about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't own you anymore. You don't run your life anymore. I got the same Jesus living in me that speaks words and the dead are raised, speaks word and people walk who couldn't walk. You go, well, I don't have that kind of game. No, but he does. Give him a shot. The Spirit of God is not going to lead you to say or do something that he's not going to back you up on. So you don't make this stuff up like, well, let's go into a hospital this afternoon, just go down the halls and just see what happens. That's not how it works. He takes you where he is leading you. And then you get there and he says, okay, say this. You go, I can't say that. He's like, well, dude, you know, this is the same problem he had with Moses. I'm not very eloquent. I stutter. Okay, great. Now we're going to have somebody else talk in your place. It's going to double the time it takes. If you're a Christian, you got God living in you. Let him live in you and through you and let him do it. I can't raise the dead. What have I got? I got nothing. But I got somebody living in me who can. Here's what concerns me. I'm going to drop dead one day. Jesus is going to come back. One of the two is going to happen. And then he's going to go, well, welcome, faithful, good, all that stuff. But I'm going to show you what could have been. This was what your car could do. This was how it was designed to work. And you little yabba-dabba-doo, little Flintstone thing running around pushing your car, that was not it. You wasted your whole life when all you had to do was turn the key and go where I told you to go. You had power. This passage, look at it again. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able, I'm not able, he is able to do what? To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Even the things you're asking for and thinking about, he can trump that. How is he able to trump it? According to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know what I don't like? What I don't want? I don't want a scared, timid doctor. How are you today? Good. I'm going to die. They say I'm going to die. Oh, wow, dude, that's terrible. I'm not really sure what to do, but, I took a class on this and, we'll give it a shot. I don't want you giving it a shot. Fix it. Do something already. Come in, even if your personality, you're quiet. Tell me you know what you're doing. The world is waiting for Jesus to show up in us. And when we show up and you say you're a Christian, you better have some game if you're going to carry that name. And I'm not talking about working this up or manufacturing it. If you spend enough time with God personally and you're alive for a reason, you go into your day, you're going to have opportunities. There's no way you're not. Every day Jesus had opportunities. And now he's all over the planet or not because we won't do anything. We won't show up. We won't let him live and do because we get scared. Well, what'll happen? What'll they say? What if I get killed? Then you're home. It's great. Philippians chapter 2, go over there. He talks about letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, thinking the way he thought, living the way he lived. Let him live through you. And then it goes down there, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then look at this. For it is God who works in you both to what? Will and to do for his good pleasure. So you say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to live a godly life. I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I like my sin. I'm going to do what I want to do. He is able to change your will and then do it. So if all you can come up with, and I had things I locked up on with Claude, and this is what he would say to me. I'd say, well, Claude, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm not willing to do that. And he said, are you willing to pray this? Now listen to me because your life could change on this. He said, are you willing to give God this? Dear God, I am willing to be made willing, even on something you're not willing to change. Are you willing to be made willing? You have to yield your will somewhere. Can you start there? Pick your problem, pick your temptation, pick your sin, my sin. So I say, okay, Lord, I really don't want to quit this. You know, there's something really weird about sin. It starts looking beautiful. Ever notice that? So you say, Lord, why am I so mesmerized by this sin? Well, because I like it. You wouldn't do this crazy stuff we're doing if we didn't get something out of it, right? It does something. And you go, but now I'm trapped with my sin. How do I get out? You go, I don't even sure I want out. Are you willing to be made willing to get out? Give him that. Pray that right now. If you got something you're struggling with and you know it's got to change, but you really don't want it to change, but you're willing for it to change at some point, then just say, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing for this to change. And when that kicks in, look what happens. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He will change your willer and then he'll give you a doer. You say, well, I can't do this. Well, then let him do it. We don't know what we've got. We don't understand how holy he is. We don't know what's possible. And so part of the discipleship process, part of the reading the scriptures, part of even this that we're doing right now is trying to make sense of this and get your Flintstone car, get a floor in it, turn the engine on and roll the way you were made to roll. You say, but don't all Christians have the power of God? Yes, but not all Christians live with that power. They don't access it. They just kind of exist and still keep going through the motions, working, working, working. It is crazy. This group of people right here could change an entire city if all you did was wake up every day and say, I'm in the game. I'm up. God, I don't know what you want me to do. And whatever it is, I can't do it anyway. Why? Because the book says, for without me, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You know what nothing means in the Greek? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You say, well, I can do a lot of things. You know, you can't do any of that stuff you just thought of. You can't do without him, because you can't do it if you can't breathe. You can't do it if you don't have a heartbeat. You can't do it if you're not alive. Where do you think that comes from? It is in him that we live and move and have our being. It's him. You say, well, I'm not even a Christian. Look what I'm doing. It's the sheer grace and mercy of God. Don't push your luck. For some reason, God hadn't wiped you out yet. And today, you're really going to be in trouble after this. You should have turned this off a long time ago. Because now you know. If you say, well, I didn't know before. La, 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 I don't want to know this. You wouldn't even be listening if you weren't hungry and if something wasn't up. So look what he says. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. If anything I have read or said today makes sense to you and changes your life, you know who gets the credit? He does, because I got nothing. You say, yeah, but you're doing something. All I am doing is yielding myself and saying, God, use me. If this is what you made me to do, use me. And as fun as this is for me, you could be having that much fun. But the devil, what does the devil whisper in your ear? Ah, dude, you can't be doing that. Dude, everybody knows your deal. You're a slug. You're an idiot. You're a. What is he coming up with? God can't use you. Until you go back to the enemy and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and a sound mind. And that may have been me, and I may do it again. Even if I go down, I'm going to get up off my butt and I'm going to try again by letting him live in me and through me the way he intended. And so then you get up and you go to work. You get up, you buy gas, you're pumping gas. Somebody speaks to you. Hey, how are you doing? You go, well, what if they want to be saved and I'm late for something? Oh my gosh. What if I get fired? Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not going to get you fired unless he's got a reason for getting you fired. Now, I am also not saying be one of these lunatics that has a big old Bible on their desk at work and you're spending all day when you should be working preaching to everybody. That is not what he's going to lead you to do. I'm going to sue my company because they fired me because I was living for Jesus. If you're living for Jesus, you're the best worker they got. And the reason someone listens to you is they respect who you are seamlessly all the time.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Fred Flintstone had manpower. You go out here in your parking lot, you got horsepower. But if you ever figure this out, you got God power. And he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above anything you could ever think or ask. And the Bible has got nothing in it but screwed up people that yielded their lives to him and he used them. And the question is, are you willing to be one of those people? And stop telling me what you're not and stop telling him what you're not and start realizing it's not about what you got anyway. It's about who you've got and who lives in you and through you. and let him be himself in you. It is not trying to live like Jesus. It is letting Jesus live through you. And then it gets crazy fun. Is there suffering? Yeah. But the coolest things in the world happen. You say, well, you're a preacher. You get to do these things. Let me tell you something. I don't have some like special dispensation to only get blessed and you guys are all up a creek. You know, you don't have it. You got the same Jesus living in you. I got it living in me.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.